Can one of the 50 states police social media companies? I'm David Brancaccio. The U.S. Supreme Court has paused, for now, a Texas law that would have changed how social media companies approach propaganda, misinformation, and hate speech. It was a 5-4 vote. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
The law at issue would allow any Texan to sue companies such as Twitter and Facebook for censoring what they post. Conservatives championed the idea, claiming tech companies disproportionately target their viewpoints. Tech companies say they're targeting misinformation and hate speech. The Supreme Court sided with the tech companies, at least for now. It issued an emergency order to block Texas from implementing its law while it is challenged in lower courts. The majority included conservatives John Roberts, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett, and two liberals, Stephen Breyer and Sonia Sotomayor. The court's other liberal justice, Elena Kagan, joined the rest of the conservatives in dissent. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
After more than 2 months of a strict lockdown in Shanghai, China, and lots of talk of phasing out COVID restrictions there, officials did let up some today. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak has been living the lockdowns in Shanghai.
At the stroke of midnight, most Shanghai residents can now move freely. Shops can reopen. The trade-off? To enter any building or public space, we need to wear masks, scan our health QR codes, and have a negative COVID test in the last 72 hours. Malls, supermarkets, and spas also require appointments and operate at 75% capacity. No gyms, movie theaters, museums, or indoor dining for now. Most students will still take classes online. Some 640,000 residents remain stuck at home. China's zero COVID policy means one case can cause a snap lockdown in the area. But after more than 60 days of being trapped inside her home, a woman tells me all she wants is to roam the bar street for a drink tonight. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak from Marketplace.
Stock index futures are mixed about 2.5 hours before the official opening. Dow futures are up 0.3%. S&P futures are up just a point. NASDAQ futures are down 0.1%. Crude oil lower than yesterday at this time, $116 if you need a barrel. It's still happening. Millions quitting the greener pastures on offer, maybe extra money, but we also know people quit because they don't like the company culture. It could be toxic with sociopathic bosses, or the culture could leave people feeling there is no path out of the COVID routine. So how can a company make a culture that works for more people? Leave it to human resources to fix? Well, Melissa Daimler has seen a lot. She's a former executive at Adobe, Twitter, and the co-working office chain that had some problematic culture issues, WeWork. She's author of a new book called Reculturing. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
HR, Human Resources, does hiring, firing, and has a key role, and I would hope in diversity, equity, and inclusion. But once the top brass says we need to deal with this culture issue, is HR the place that leads the charge on the cultural transformation?
No. I think that is one of the myths of culture that people get wrong. I don't think it's HR's job. It is not a one-off initiative that HR does once. I think it's everybody's job. And I think it's something that is co-created. So it's not just led from the top, and it's not just led from the bottom.
This whole thing of cultural change has to break through, probably at many organizations, a sense of cynicism. For instance, if you do surveys at companies, often people say, I want to get new training. And then cultural change comes and there's more learning and in-service training. But what people are really saying often is, I want the learning that allows me to get promoted so I make more money. And, you know, companies can't offer that to everybody.
This is where I think a lot of companies get culture and learning wrong. I think the very same people that complain about a lack of training or a lack of feedback or lack of consistent promotion processes are the same leaders and companies that haven't taken the time to define that playbook. And that, to me, is more of what culture is. It's not this nebulous set of values. It's a very distinct set of behaviors that are then embedded into the daily workings of a company.
Right. Here's the how do we get started tomorrow morning question. I mean, people listening right now going, you know, I got to deal with that culture thing. It keeps showing up in employee surveys. What has to happen first for these things to follow?
I think the number one thing to do is to first redefine how you look at culture and clarifying with employees that it is more than just a list of values and it's more than just a one-time initiative. Many companies do have a list of values. So taking a look at what those values are and what they mean to us as a company. So, you know, each one of those might have two or three behaviors and then integrating those into processes that we're already doing. So are those behaviors integrated into how we're hiring, how we're onboarding, how we're giving feedback to each other? And so those are things that we're doing already. So why not just make it easier by clarifying what our playbook is at this company?
Melissa Daimler is author of Reculturing, Design Your Company Culture to Connect with Strategy and Purpose for Lasting Success. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We also talk about her time at WeWork, a startup famous for its rapid rise and its flamed-out attempt at an initial public stock offering back before pandemic. More on that with Daimler can be streamed later from marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. We are from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.